Hello, and welcome to Wavemakers, the podcast where we get to know the ocean and water tech and the people behind these blue technologies that are destined to become climate solutions. I'm Tamara Khan, your guide through this bold adventure of blue tech here on the American Shoreline Podcast Network. If you're a longtime listener, you can probably predict that this April episode is brought to you with Earth Day in mind. Last year, we remembered how Earth Day started in 1970 as an effort to help U.S. citizens become active stewards for our environment. Well, 70% of our Earth is ocean, so I like to think that today celebrates how we can be better stewards for the ocean, too. And today's guest is someone who really embodies this effort. She's inspiring in the way that she noticed a problem and set out to find a better solution. And the problem she's solving is definitely another one of those global problems related to the ocean and how we interface with it. So a little background. Have you ever been on a beachside town and noticed a wall along the waterfront? I'm here in Austin, and in Texas, we all know Galveston is famous for its seawall, which is actually a historic landmark. It was built after the 1900 hurricane to protect the town from future hurricanes. And I wonder if they knew at the time just how much abuse that wall would have to take. Maybe you've noticed other seawalls. Walking along one in Copacabana, Brazil was very impactful to me. There's well-known ones in India. And in Japan, their $1.5 billion wall was overcome by the 2011 tsunami. And now they've got a plan to build even more of them, I think a string of them. But other than the fact that seawalls prevent hundreds of millions of dollars in damage to infrastructure, that they're not just for coastlines, but for land as well, my knowledge of seawalls can fill a thimble. So my guest today, Anya Freeman, can tell you things you never knew about seawalls. Welcome to the show, Anya.
Thank you so much, Tamara. I'm so excited to be here, and I can't wait to talk seawalls.
Wonderful. Well, why don't we start, Anya, with how you got into this? Why did you start this endeavor?
Sure. Yeah, it's an interesting story because I came from a very different background as a lawyer, actually. I was born in Ukraine. I came to America when I was already 15 with my whole family, my brother, my mom, and my dad. And I moved to Kennebunk, Maine. And I didn't speak any English. I definitely did not know like right thing to wear on the first day of school. But I always felt so excited to be in this country. And I've always had this really big fire underneath me of wanting to make the most of the opportunity of being here, especially now because my friends and my whole family back in Ukraine, they're definitely not building impact ventures and companies. So it's always been very, very important to me to capitalize on the opportunity of being here. And so after finishing high school in Maine, I went to law school like many immigrant children. I fulfilled my parents' American dream of going to law school. My little brother went to medical school. And that's how I ended up in Miami, where Kind Designs, our company, is based today because I got a scholarship to the UM, the law school here. So I finished school. I became a prosecutor, prosecuting human trafficking cases here in downtown Miami. And as I settled into my life, I know, yeah, also very exciting, but not my ultimate destiny, I think. Because as I was working at the U.S. Attorney's Office and living here, I started to notice something that would end up changing the course of my life. And that's that our city was sinking. I have been now in Miami for 13 years, and there's a very big difference in the amount of flooding, the frequency of storm surges when I arrived 13 years ago and today. It's almost weekly. I mean, literally, I was coming home just 2 days ago. I jumped out of the Uber and I was knee deep in water going into my house. I mean, it's really become part of your day-to-day life in Miami. And the reason I got interested is because the more I looked into this space, the more I realized that nobody else was looking at any innovation when it comes to rising sea levels and different adaptation. And so I learned that the primary way we address rising sea levels is building these conventional seawalls. And like you said, the first seawall that went in Galveston in 1900 is literally the same seawall we're still installing in Miami today, there has never been any innovation in seawall design or construction. And the problem is that these seawalls not only are very expensive for communities, but they're toxic for sea life. Once you install a traditional seawall, all the biodiversity, all the rich sea life that used to live in that area leaves because they can't latch onto a flat wall and because traditional seawalls leach chemicals into the ocean. So we may be protecting our communities from rising sea levels, but we're doing that at the expense of killing our sea life. And that just didn't make sense to me. So I set out to find a way of protecting all coastal communities from rising sea levels and the flooding, while also nurturing and protecting all of our sea life. And that's how we came up with these living, 3D printed living seawalls that we're making with Kind Designs today.
Wonderful. I'm going to dive into that and what exactly Kind Designs offers. So, but first I have to tell you, I hear you loud and clear on that immigrant mindset. I'm also, we immigrated from South Africa. I saw America and the U.S. as the land of opportunity. Also very driven. My parents were expecting a lot. So I hear you. And I think that's such a wonderful, encouraging story for anyone who really from anywhere building up in this country. You can be impactful no matter who you are. And I commend you on noticing. Was there a lightning moment when you noticed about seawalls, or did you ask people, you know, how are we combating this flooding, or how did that knowledge reach you?
I noticed the problem. I mean, I've always been aware of the flooding, right? I live in South Beach, in Miami Beach, and that's like prime area for flooding. You see literally cars floating past you like every other week. But what piqued my interest is that a few years ago, a book came out. It was called The Dispensable City. And it was just it's a beautiful book. There's amazing statistics in there. I learned a lot, but it was very doom and gloom, right? It was basically saying, you know, enjoy Miami while you can, because by 2060, 60% of it will be underwater. And by 2100, we will all be underwater. There will be no Miami. And I just felt
thanks so much.
Yeah. I mean, it sold a lot of copies, right? And well, it was important because it created a lot of conversation around this topic, which is great. But I think it was missing a really important piece of the solution. And it didn't take into account like all the incredible innovation, convergence of innovation, different areas of technology that could be applied to solve this. All right, there's been so much innovation in material science recently, 3D printing, what we're using, even in data, in sensor tech, there's been a big revolution in. And also didn't take into consideration all these great minds that have been moving to our city, to Miami, in the last few years. As you know, people have moved here from California, from New York, and these are like really brilliant people who are working to solve a lot of different problems and have expertise in different areas of technology. So I just felt certain that if we put together these people and all of the new technologies that have just been born recently, that we could find a solution. That we did not have to say goodbye Miami, right, and move inland in a few years. And that to me was more exciting than just continuing to talk about the problem of rising sea levels, which everyone knows about at this point.
Absolutely. I mean, you're on the right show, because the whole reason I started my Wave Makers endeavor was actually because I was so down. I studied climate science, and everything you listen to, everything you read is all about all the problems we have. And working in blue tech, you get to see there are so many solutions and so many interesting things happening and trying to develop. I actually met Anya through Daniel Kleinman at Seaworthy Collective that I'm working with right now out of Miami. And it's wonderful to see Miami is really waking up to the problems that they have and trying to support these innovative technologies to help basically save us. We're not saving the planet, we're saving ourselves. So your message is heard loud and clear here.
Yeah, thanks so much. I appreciate that. And also just to echo your point earlier of, you know, the ability for us to innovate as Americans, as citizens of this country, I really feel strongly that there's no better place and there's no better time to be an entrepreneur and to solve problems than now. We have so many resources right? Like, we don't even, like, you can, I didn't know anything about 3D printing. I mean, literally anything. And I just started by watching YouTube videos. And then I went on Coursera, paid like $19 for an unlimited membership. And I took so many 3D printing courses from universities like Stanford at such a cheap price. And then you can start reading textbooks. You can really, really self-educate yourself now like you could never before. And we can outsource so many parts of this business that, you know, I was intimidated by when I started. I don't know how to do all. I have an idea, right? And I know that I'm good at being a leader and getting a lot of people behind this cause, and sales, I think I'm pretty good at. But there are so many aspects of my business that I did not know much about. But nowadays, you can outsource so much of it, right, without having to hire full-time employees. So I just feel like it was much easier than expected for me to start this business. And we've been able to move so quickly because we've been able to capitalize on all those resources and all of those opportunities to learn that we have nowadays that we never did before.
How fantastic. You're a very dynamic woman, I gotta say, Anya, and very inspiring.
Thanks, Tamara.
You're the type of CEO that really is educating and knows what she knows and outsources what she doesn't, builds that team around her. So I can't speak highly enough. I talk to a lot of CEOs, so I hope people are listening and taking notes. But why don't you tell us a little bit about what your company, Kind Designs, has as an offering? What's your mission?
Sure. So our mission is to replace every toxic seawall with a living 3D printed artificial reef that's also structural and protects communities from rising sea levels. And we are doing that by, first of all, just where our starting point is in Miami, by the way, not just because I'm here and I love the city, but this is the first city to really face this challenge at scale. And because of that, there's a lot of attention on the problem of rising sea levels, like you said, a lot of community support, government support. And so it's a really great place to innovate. And Miami is either going to be an example, right, for everybody else, or a lesson. And so we want to make it an example. And from an economic perspective, Miami is the number one city in the United States as far as seawalls, the sales. Actually, when you look at the top 10 cities in the U.S. that are hardest hit by rising sea levels, who will have to install seawalls, 5 of the top 10 are in Florida. And Miami is by far the number one city with the biggest seawall market. Number 2 is New York City, and it's half the amount of seawalls that they will need compared to Miami. So it's a great place to start. So we are starting here. We are 3D printing our panels. We sell them to contractors, which are like seawall construction companies. And in the past, they had to make their own seawall panels using these big molds. It's a long process. It's an expensive process, very labor intensive. And now instead
of them, with concrete?
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt you, but
exactly. They were using traditional concrete, which, you know, once you install, would leach into the ocean. And because they were using mold,
it's not good for the carbon emissions as well, I have to add. So please continue.
Well, that's also a good point. Right. Carbon is the most toxic material on Earth. It produces 8% of all CO2 emission comes from carbon. So it's a very, very toxic material. We can get into that as well, because we are also trying to solve that as part of our project. But my point about where we are today is that we are making these panels, and now we can sell them to contractors. So instead of them having to make their own with traditional concrete, with molds, we can deliver them our panels and for the same exact price. And that's really key. Like, for me, the economics are so important because, of course, like, my passion for this comes from wanting to create reefs and improve sea life. But I really believe that to have global scale impact, you have to have amazing economics. Like, you have to have a great business vehicle to drive forward impact. So that's why I tied the impact of our seawalls to a product, seawalls, which is not only, you know, something that people need to have, but it's actually something that governments mandate. Buildings, houses, any infrastructure in the water has to have seawalls, according to the permitting agencies and local governments. And so for us, it was very important to create the impact in connection with a product that's mandated, but also to make it the same price as a traditional seawall, meaning that all the environmental benefits are free. Whether a contractor makes his own seawall panel using molds and it's toxic, or they buy this panel ready to go from us and it has all of these environmental benefits, it's the same price. And that really makes it an irresistible offer. There's no reason for companies to keep making their own toxic seawalls when we can provide them for the same price and give the community and the sea life all the benefits for free.
Yeah, you're one of those solutions that when you see it, it's kind of like, oh, why didn't we think of that before? So it's
Yeah, it's very simple. Very, very simple, actually.
And it's a unique solution. But I knew you had that environmental side and then the business benefit side, but I didn't know you had the policy behind it. So I guess my one question is, there's so much mandated. Are there any other policies that might sort of help drive this along and scale up your business and your effort?
Sure. So another policy we're looking at influencing is to achieve like community scale impact. So right now it's very silly because if you live on the water and you have a beautiful seawall, but the neighbor next to you does not have a seawall, when there is a flood or a storm surge, you will still get impacted because the water will just come from the side, right? And that's a very common problem. So right now, something that's already in the works is a bill where entire communities will be able to install a seawall together. And it will also be much more economical because of economies of scale. It's obviously much easier to do one big project in a community. So that's something that we will be a part of for sure.
So Anya, just curious, your customer at this stage is actually the people building the seawalls. So you're selling them the panels. You're not like direct to residents or
Correct.
Anything like that at this point. Okay. And what, just to educate me a little bit, it sounds like you did a lot of validation work before you got started on this. I mean, you're obviously in Miami. It's very organic. That's where you notice the problem. That's where you are. But have you kind of validated that this is a global problem as well?
Yes. Yeah, so in Miami, our validation is our orders. We have $4.5 million in pre-orders, and we can't even start production till May. So we're basically sold out for a whole year before we can even start producing seawalls, because every seawall contractor that we talk to just says, please make all my panels. There's no need for them to keep making their own. Yeah, so that's very validating. And also I get so many ideas from them. For example, they asked me to make corners with a mold like they use now. They can only make flat, straight panels, but a lot of properties are obviously not perfectly straight. Well, with 3D printing, it cost me nothing to make corners or custom angles, right? So that was their idea, and that's something we're incorporating today. So where I'm very close with my customers. And actually, it's funny, just recently, my biggest customer also became my biggest investor. They asked to invest in our seed round that we're raising now. So we have a wonderful relationship with them. But like you said, it's not a Miami problem. It's not a US problem. Globally, there's 507 cities at risk from rising sea levels by 2050. And in many, many of those communities, seawalls are not just bad for the environment, they're cost prohibitive. And so entire communities are planning to move inland. We will abandon coastal cities globally unless we can bring them a solution that's not only better for the environment, but that actually makes economic sense for them. So the mission is to prove the concept in Miami as quickly as possible, to grow as a business and be able to drive down our costs lower and lower and lower, because the ultimate mission is to provide an affordable solution to every coastal community in the world to save them from having to abandon their home.
Absolutely. There's a lot of talk about that. That comes back to the sort of doomsday saying of the sea levels are rising, coastal cities, properties aren't going to be there anymore. I know I can't even imagine in Miami some of those property values that in 50 years will be underwater if we don't do something. So sounds like you've hit upon a real, I don't want to say gold mine, but it's a great offering.
But I think it's fine to say gold mine because by the business doing good, we as a business can do good, if that makes sense. So I've never shied away.
That's exactly right.
I've never shied away from the capitalistic nature of a startup because that empowers me to have massive impact.
Absolutely. And I think investors are starting to see these blue tech, climate tech solutions as they're sort of recession proof. They're things that are going to be needed more and more. And it's impact driven, but the money will come. So there's the double benefit. You are a perfect example of that. Is there anything else you would like to maybe share with our listeners about seawalls and maybe some call to action? Is there anything people can do to help in your mission? That's a tough question, maybe.
Well, I'm not sure where your listeners are based, but we are hiring.
Super.
Right now, we're raising our seed round and we got our first million funding in. It's a very exciting moment because up until now, yeah, thanks so much. It feels amazing. Imagine I've had no income or no one in our team has had any income for almost 2 years. So it's a very big moment for us to just now be able to focus on growth and not just survival.
Huge. Congratulations. That's wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. It's definitely a learning experience, a lot of ups and downs. Oh my gosh. It was a boot camp for sure. And just learning everything about fundraising and the startup world. But being on the other side of it, I'm so glad it happened exactly like it did. And we're in this position now. But part of that funding will go definitely towards now being able to hire all of our operations team. And we're excited to really create an opportunity for people who don't have to have any education. Like we don't need someone to go to Harvard and have, you know, be some engineer. Like anyone can do this because we're doing all the training. Because we are the first in the world to be 3D printing structural seawalls. There's no one with this specific experience. So we'll be the ones training the team. So it's really just anyone that's good with their hands, loves to build, hard worker, and most importantly, someone that's really excited about our mission. And that's really the connection between all of us on a team now is that all of us are just really pumped. Like we like jump out of bed and we can't wait to work on this because it doesn't feel like work. It feels like fun adventure because we get to solve such a big problem and it just gives you an amazing sense of purpose. So that's the kind of people we're looking for, primarily to operate the robots in our warehouse in Miami. But then we have a lot of, you know, other different kinds of roles. So that's a kind of a call to action. If anyone's interested in this, to please contact us. We'd love to hear from them.
What a fantastic offer. I mean, you are definitely creating a model business here in that it's, you know, people can transfer skills or learn new skills and really anyone can get involved. That's exactly, it's just the epitome of blue tech in my mind. So thank you.
Right. Isn't that fun? Like I also felt like, because I was a lawyer, right? And I had this limiting belief that I don't have the right education to do anything else. Like I love innovation, I love tech, but I went to school for law. So I just felt, I know it sounds funny because law, I know it's great, but at the same time, I felt like not good enough to do something else until I had this breakthrough of self-education, realizing I don't need to go to school to self-educate in 3D printing, you know, what I ended up doing. But same with this field, the 3D printing, you know, when the operators were hiring, it's exciting because you don't have to have, there is no wrong background for us. Like we're excited to talk to you as long as you are excited about this mission as we are. And then once you get this training and you get your foot in the door in the startup world, then so many more opportunities will open for you. So I really want to create that for people in our community or any community that want to come to Miami and join this cause.
Amazing. I'm sure you got to have that passion and that drive to continue, because I know that not everything is always smooth sailing. You have to have a certain amount of tenacity to stick with it. You mentioned that you and your team haven't been paid in 2 years, so you stuck with it and here you are. I think that's an important note for other founders that are listening, that it can happen and you just have to stick it out and know what you have is the right offering.
Yeah, and really get creative and scrappy. And I think that's like my immigrant
side. Exactly.
Like, for example, the warehouse. We couldn't afford a warehouse. But then we negotiated that one of our customers actually gave us a warehouse for free for 2 years. And instead of paying cash, which we didn't have, every month we give him $10,000 a month in equity. Right, so he gets a small share in our company. But that was one way to get a warehouse going, right? So there's a lot of just different ways to get creative and to get past this point of uncertainty.
Absolutely. And I'll just shameless plug for Seaworthy Collective, because we do have a program for founders who are looking for connections and things just like that to get creative, come up with those ideas, get connected to the right people who are willing to work with them on that kind of thing. So you should definitely check it out.
Exactly. Seaworthy was instrumental for us. Like, we met Seaworthy when we were just babies. I mean, this was literally just an idea. By getting plugged into Seaworthy, which is so loved and well known in the community as a leader really in blue tech, through them we made so many important connections, which also through them we found advisors. That's another way to be scrappy, is to get, when you can't pay a team, is to get advisors who really believe in you and believe in your cause, and in exchange for equity, again, this is a very small percent of your company, to be able to get their expertise is something that can really also help you get through the first years.
Super. Oh, Anya, I want to like pick your brain for every founder who's ever listened to this podcast, because you're full of good knowledge and experience. But I have to ask you a little bit more about the tech, because I'm imagining this 3D printer and I just want to understand a little bit more about like the size and how you're doing it. You're in a warehouse. How big is this thing? How big is a panel are you printing?
Sure. So our printer is a robotic arm. It's mobile. It's the size of like an SUV sideways. And it has an arm that can turn 360. And it's mobile. It's almost like tank. I don't know what it's called. I'm such a girl. It's not tank tires, but the bottom part of
it. You don't need to know.
The bottom part of it.
They're like track.
Yes. So
they're kind of more of a track. Yeah.
Yeah. The tank tracks. Thank you. It's a robotic arm on tracks. Exactly. And it's so we could print these panels outside, like directly on the construction sites, but that would not be very efficient. Right, we already have so many orders. It would be insane to drive our robot around and print these. So instead, we have a warehouse, and the warehouse is temperature controlled. We can work 24/7 inside of it. Doesn't matter if it's rains or not. So it's just ultimate efficiency is our warehouse. And the robotic arm prints a panel, which is about 10 by 10 feet or 9 by 12 feet. That's the most common size. It prints this panel in 45 minutes, which is really, really fast. The only alternative right now is for contractors to make their own panels with molds. It takes them 24 hours for one panel. So it's an exponentially faster process. And so the robotic arm prints one panel, it turns, print another one, it turns, prints a third, and then it backs up because it's mobile and prints another row of three. So in a day, we're printing 32 panels. Again, about a panel per 45 minutes.
Gotcha. Incredible. And I mean, so many benefits. I'm going to ask you, is there any downside to what you're doing? Is there like something you're still trying to work through? And maybe you don't want to say, that's okay too, but.
No, I don't know what it is. I don't know. You know, we're going to keep pushing our material. So we have to start with concrete, because that's the easiest way just to meet building codes and get our product in the water. Mm-hmm. And our concrete does not leach. So that's a really important differentiator. The traditional concrete leaches chemicals into the ocean. Ours has an additive that prevents it from leaching. So that's already ready to go. But still, it is concrete, right? And as we know, that's a very toxic material. So as we grow quickly as a business and as we are able to increase the margins of our product, we are putting more and more attention into innovating this product and really, I mean, ultimately eliminating concrete altogether, or in the meantime, at least reducing the amount of material that we're using and reducing the carbon implications of that concrete. That is very important to us.
Fair enough. You got to take the baby steps and crawl before you walk. But I guess I want to ask you one more question along the lines of collaboration before we start to wrap up. Have you been working with anyone in the 3D industry or 3D printing industry, or obviously your customers, which is often the case here with our guests, that they are very close, talk to their customers and innovate based on what their feedback is. But what about like partners and such?
Yeah, sure. So my partner manufactures the robots, and that's so key for our business, because for us to have produced and invented our own robot, we've taken a couple years, and the problem is very, very urgent, and we're the first to market, and we want to capitalize on that. So a key partnership for us is with the manufacturer of the robot. So they're based in the Netherlands. They make the robots, and we have exclusivity to use the robots for seawalls. So they do the manufacturing, and then they use their robots to make houses, and we use their robots to make seawalls. And that's really neat because we can capitalize on each other's exclusivity. And that also helped me in the beginning because I have a big in-house engineering team, which I had access to. So that really allowed us to move very, very quickly and to grow exponentially by putting in place these important partnerships and also kind of a convergence again of expertise and markets. And for us, that agreement is 10 years and then renews automatically as long as we keep purchasing a minimum number of printers per year. So it's very mutually beneficial for both of us. And before choosing them, I met with every large-scale concrete robot manufacturers in the world, because there's only about 12 of them who have printed more than like a small box. And I chose these guys in the Netherlands because the robot is so fast and their resolution is so high, meaning the printing layers are really small. So the wall can have details. It needs to be a reef. It has to have caves, for example, where sea life can hide from predators. This is the only robot that can print at the speed we need to have the economics that we discussed and also have the details like the caves for the wall to function as a reef.
Excellent. Well, I can also see that for them, your partnership is beneficial because when you do kind of come up with these alternatives to concrete, they'll be first to know about it as well. So it seems very symbiotic.
Exactly. And also the business model is one where we grow together. Right now, phase one, we are making our own panels right in Miami. We're selling to contractors. But in 2025, we launch a platform, a global platform, because like I said, there's 507 cities at risk. We don't have time to go to all those cities and open all these warehouses. And we're not a construction company at the end of the day. Local contractors in those cities have much better expertise than we do and much better relationships. So the idea is that starting in 2025, we launch a platform where we empower contractors in all of those at-risk cities by giving them financing to buy their own robots, giving them access to our materials through a local provider, and also giving them access to our library of designs that's customized for all different kinds of sea life. And that's how we scale this globally and have the impact that I described in the beginning.
Oh, wow. So you're not just focused on sea life in general, you're even catering to specific sea life in specific areas.
Exactly. We're building a library of designs custom for different sea life, like oysters, right? Like, of course, it's very localized.
Excellent. What an amazing juxtaposition of like scalable, so it's usable everywhere, but still slightly bespoke.
Yeah, that's true. That's what 3D printing is famous for. It's like free customization.
Very flexible. Excellent. Do you, I guess What is the website? Will you share some contact info, how people can have a look at these very cool walls? Because I've seen a picture and they just look really neat. They're also kind of just aesthetically pleasing.
So thanks so much.
Where can we send people?
Thanks. We have an amazing designer. He's so talented. He makes all of our panels. His name is Dan. But I think the best way is just to follow us on Instagram. We are at Kind Designs Official, and we're pretty active on there. And we'd love to hear from you. DM us if you want a job, if you want to participate in any way. We're always looking to grow. We're also always looking to converge with other technologies and other ideas. So we're very open to future partnerships and new locations as well outside Miami.
Excellent. It's the way of the future. I know my husband finds all of our music gigs, everything we want to go do for fun. It's all on Instagram, anything you want, businesses, jobs. So very, just another clever angle you've got there, Anya.
Thanks, Tamara.
I just want to thank you so much for being on Wavemakers. You were super interesting. I hope that everyone has enjoyed listening and learning that seawalls, these like invisible parts of our infrastructure again, actually have huge meaning, huge potential. And our world over, hopefully, will soon be improving with innovation. Thank you so much to Anya. Thank you to our listeners and the American Shoreline Podcast Network. Join us next month. And for now, happy Earth Day, everybody.